Revelation 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as a smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green things, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots, many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of the lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of the men killed by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouth. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto the serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Young, for reading such a solemn passage. I've written over this chapter, The Horrors of the Great Tribulation. For just to put it into its timing, if I may, this chapter is dealing with events that will take place during the second half of Daniel's 70th week. 3.5 years have passed. Now we have the second 3.5 years. And it's during this period of the second 3.5 years that the events of which we've read in chapter 9 will take place. It's indicating to us, of course, that what we have in chapter 9 actually precedes the detail given to us when we come to Revelation chapter 12 and chapter 13. So we find that when we get to those chapters, along with chapter 16, we have an expansion of the events that are mentioned here. And so we find, as to its timing, we're now at the second half of Daniel's 70th week, which the Lord called the tribulation, the great one. Most probably, it would be toward the latter part of those last three and a half years that these events take place. But you will have noticed that from verse 1 to 12, we have the first vision that John saw. And in that vision, he saw demonic forces let loose out of the bottomless pit to torment men upon the earth for 5 months. And so what we have in those first 12 verses is the demonic forces let loose by divine permission from their prison house, the abyss, and that to go out and to torment men for 5 months. When we come to the second vision, from verse 13 down to verse 19, we now find that John sees, again, a great army, but not now of demonic forces, but here is the armies of men. And the number, as far as our language has heard, 200 million men John saw in this last great army that was to invade the part of the earth, which is, of course, linked with the Euphrates in that section. So really, we've got two visions and two invasions. The first invasion is a demonic invasion. They come out from the bottomless pit under the control of their king. And we find their king by those Hebrew and Greek names, which means the destroyer. And under the destroyer, they go forth to torment men. But even there, we find that everything is under divine control. Likewise, when we come to the second vision, from verse 13 onwards, we find again that everything is under divine control. And we're told that the great army that will be gathered together will be gathered together to the place called Armageddon. But of course, we'll have to wait until we get to chapter 16 to fill in some of the detail which we have set forth in this chapter. But first, let us consider these opening 12 verses. For what John saw, he saw actually, as it were, the bottomless pit opened. He saw a star falling from heaven, to whom was given a key. And with that key, the bottomless pit would be opened, indicating to us that in these verses, in this chapter, you know, you've got figurative language used and symbolism is used in order that John might convey to us the horrors of the moment that he's relating to us in this vision that he saw. So we will get figurative language. And so we find that in the first half of the chapter, we find now that under the judicial dealings of God with mankind on the earth during that second part of the tribulation period, God is going to allow a key to be given that the bottomless pit may be opened and they'll be let loose upon the earth, demonic hordes to wreak their havoc amongst men and women on the earth at that time. There's some question, of course, as to what this star represents. You see, the Lord did say that he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And so we find that the star may, I only say may, the star may represent the fall of Satan, which is told us in chapter 12, when he's cast out of heaven to the earth. And being cast out of heaven and being knowing that his time was short, full of wrath, we find now that he has the key. If it is Satan, I only suggest it may be, it could be another angel to whom was given a key. And the pit is opened. And out from that pit, there issues a tremendous cloud of smoke. And John relates that, of course, to like a swarm of locusts. For, they tell me, a swarm of locusts can actually blot out the sun and make the whole air darkened. And that's just the language that John uses. So he's using figurative language to convey to us the meaning of what will happen in this dreadful time of tribulation. We find then that the key is given and the door is opened, and there issues from the pit the smoke as of a great furnace. Now, we do know, of course, that represents so often the demon beings that are let loose at that point in time. It may even be those angels that were imprisoned in Jude, and in 2 Peter, of course. We may find that the abyss here is the prison house, which has imprisoned the fallen angels for all this time. And now they're let loose, and they're let loose upon men and women that live on the earth at this point in time. Now, you will observe that as far as this is concerned, it's not now a fourth part, nor a third part. We find that the whole world will be actually invaded by this vast horde of spirit beings under the control of what is called their king. And it is under God's control, for they're commanded not to kill. They have the power to kill, but they're under divine command. They're not to kill, but their purpose is to torment men on the earth for 5 months. Now, to get some idea of the frightful character of these demon spirits that's let loose, John uses language to give us some idea as to what they may look like, because spirit beings have no human form, of course. And so John tells us that actually these spirit beings, they have faces like men, they have hair like women, and they're like locusts as to their number. And so we find in their tails are like scorpions, and in their tail is the sting of a scorpion. And so we find that these demonic beings let loose out of that prison house is for 5 months to torment men and women, I take it, on the earth. And so that's why I suggest to you, we are in the second part of Daniel's 70th week. We're in those last 3.5 years that will lead up to, ultimately, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven to earth as the King of Kings. And so we understand that during that period of time, there will be let loose upon this earth such a demonic force that men and women will be tormented for a period of 5 months. I take that to be literal. Generally speaking, it's the safest way in the book of the Revelation. So take the numbers as literal numbers. And so we find that for 5 months, they're going to torment. And how are they going to torment? Well, their tails have the sting of a scorpion. And the sting of a scorpion is the worst possible sting that man could ever experience. And so we learn, such is the sting of the tails of these spirit beings, as John describes them, that men will seek death and will wish to die, but death will flee from them. So awful, so terrible will be that period of time when demonic forces are let loose upon the earth. And so that's what John sees in this first vision. And that is how things will be at the end time. How thankful we are that under the grace of God we've been saved, and we belong to the church, which is the body of Christ, and we would have been caught up to heaven to be with Christ where he is. But to think of all those on the earth and those who've refused to believe the gospel of the grace of God, and then those who refuse to believe the gospel of the kingdom when it's preached during those days, that these are subject now to the dreadful torment of demon spirits, and that for this period of time. And so John sets before us then the first of the visions that he saw, which all in all tells us that after all, God is going to allow the spirit world to invade the world of mankind. But then from verse 13 to the end of the chapter, John now sees another vision. And in this vision, it's not now demonic forces. And it's not now locust-like spirit beings, so terrible by their look and by their composition that men would seem to be altogether frightened. And it would be, of course, at the time when, after all, Satan has been cast to the earth and the beast would have risen to his supreme power, and the mark of the beast to be taken by all that would seek to live. And upon these, who had the mark of the beast, upon these dreadful happenings will take place. And I take it, so fearful will be the demonic forces let loose upon the earth that men will fear, and men would rather die than to have to continue with this dreadful sting, like a scorpion sting, the worst sting that and the worst pain that man can feel. But then there's another feature of these last years of great tribulation. Not only will there be demonic forces, but we now find that there are four angels who are bound, it says, in the river Euphrates. I think the Revised Version would put it this way. They're bound at the river Euphrates. In other words, somewhere, a place in relation to the Euphrates River, there are now four angels and they're bound. These, of course, are not the angels of God. These are evil angels. And so we find that when the sixth angel sounds his trumpet, first of all, the command is that that these four angels should be loosed from their place. And being let loose from their place, now we find there's going to be a going forth of spirit beings, I take it, spirit influences, to incite the armies of the world to come together to destroy the people, the nation of Israel, once and for all. And so we find that the river Euphrates is introduced. And we do know that the kings of the east are going to be gathered together. And they're going to come, and in order to destroy the nation of Israel. And also, by this time, the beast and his armies and his empire would have had a firm footing in the world, and therefore they're coming. And there'll not only be the conflict with the beast and his armies, but now they're coming in order that they might destroy Israel as a nation, and so settle once and for all the problem of the Middle East. That's why when we get to chapter 16, we find this Mediterranean, the river is actually dried up to make a way for the kings of the East. So in this chapter, we have these dreadful pictures of what is going to take place during the latter part of the time of great tribulation. Maybe, let me see, about the sixth year or the fifth or sixth year, the armies will be gathered together. Now, it does say 200 million. Now, I cannot compute that in my mind. Perhaps you can't either. But I take it to be that when God states a number, he means that number. And there's going to be a gathering together of the kings of the earth. And they're going to come and be brought to Armageddon. And there will be, of course, as we know from other scriptures, that will be the start of the campaign that will lead actually to the march down to Palestine, down to Jerusalem, and to the destruction of the city and the destruction of the people, and only a few would escape. But here we see the gathering point. It all begins with the river of Euphrates dried up and the kings of the east gathered together under demonic influence, incited to come to make war. And so what John is saying to us in this chapter, that there's going to be this twofold invasion prior to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ in power and great glory. The amazing thing is this. Although a third part of the earth at that point in time will be killed. You see, the demonic forces let loose in the first half of the chapter, they were commanded not to kill, only to torment. But now we find men are going to be killed. And in the gathering together of the kings of the east and ultimately the armies of the world, a third part of men, maybe the third part of mankind, are going to be slain, are going to be killed. I don't know what the population of the world is today, but you know, a third part would be an awful amount of people that are yet to die during those latter days or months of the time of great tribulation. And so we find that John, as he brings these horrific pictures before us of what it would be like to live on the earth in that day, that after it all, men did not repent of the works of their hands. Men did not repent of their sorceries. Men did not repent of their idolatry. They still worshipped and served idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood. And so we find, in spite of all, the dreadful judgments of God happening upon the earth, when God lifts every restraint from demonic forces and demons can do their will, for that's the picture, all restraint is lifted. The four angels are told to loose these angels. And these four angels be loose, they will be the means of gathering up all these armies of the world together. And in spite of all, that men will witness in those days, it says, and the men who were not killed repented not. It just reminds me, of course, of the words of Romans chapter 2. You see, it's the goodness of God that actually turns men to repentance. The judgments of God, as we see here, hardens the hearts of men, only because they've hardened their hearts first, of course. They've hardened their hearts against God during those days of tribulation, not recognizing that it was the dealings of God that was happening in the world during those 7 years. They hardened their own hearts, and now their hearts are hardened. To a certain extent, they will not repent in spite of all that they're witnessing. And therefore, we find that there's going to be, ultimately, with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, a gathering together of the armies of the world against Jerusalem. And we know, of course, that the beast and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire. And after the millennium, Satan will be cast into the bottomless pit, the abyss, where the beast and the false prophet are. And so we find that the events of this chapter will have their conclusion in chapter 19. But we are anticipating, of course, the details of these chapters. But I can suggest to you that actually to read chapter 16 against the background of chapter 9, it does give you an indication as to these events and what will happen during these events when God is dealing judicially with men, and that through the unrestrained demonic forces let loose as the bottomless pit is opened. And therefore, we need to thank God that we live in the day of God's grace. It ought to give us, I suppose, impetus to seek to warn men and women of that which is yet to come, and to set before them the salvation that God has provided for all men in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I purposely have not dealt with every detail of the description that John gives. I try to give you the overall picture that John is painting for us in this chapter of what will be before the Great Tribulation is brought to its conclusion by the return of Christ, demonic forces, the armies, the kings of the earth, and ultimately the armies of the world, and the research slaughter in those days is altogether beyond our imagination. But may it just inspire us to pray for those who've heard the gospel, understood the gospel, but not responded to it, that they may come to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.